First Corinthians chapter 3 again. And I won't read the whole chapter as I did last week. Let me just read the first several verses where Paul, and he is, remember, he is continuing. This is not a different area of thought here. Paul's just talked about the fact that the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. Because, as he says, they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And he goes on to say, but the person that is spiritual judges or discerns all things. Mm-hmm. Yet that person is discerned of no man.
Exactly.
In other words, people say, but I know who you are. If they're a natural person, if they're unregenerate, the answer is no, you do not.
That's exactly right.
You don't understand me.
Yeah.
And then Paul goes, he's talking to these Corinthians, and then he continues, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. And let me point out that that is all he says.
Yeah.
He does not say you're not spiritual.
No.
He says, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual.
Exactly.
The problem here has to do with language. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what can be said, what Paul felt he could say, and what he felt he could not say.
Yeah.
Thy brethren could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. But then he makes sure, being moved by the Spirit of God to qualify this, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto, that is, from the beginning up until now, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. And then here's the real problem.
Yeah.
Neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? And then he defines what he's talking about. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?
Mm-hmm.
Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? And I want to stop and point out that the Apostle Paul is saying that if anybody ever believes anything you ever say about the Lord Jesus Christ, it's because God Almighty purposed for it to happen at that place, at that time, with that person.
Yes, sir. That's right.
This is not as God gave every man his own ability. That's not what it's talking about. God gives individual unbelievers to hear the truth of the gospel, and then by his grace, he makes them into a believer.
Yes, sir.
It's as the Lord gave, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase.
Amen.
And that's always the way it is.
Amen.
It's always the way it is. One person may plant the seed. Another person may come along and water the seed, but the planting and the watering does not bring forth the increase. God brings forth the increase.
Amen.
Because there are many times the seed is planted and watered, and there is no increase.
That's right.
That planting and watering may be rejected.
Oh, yeah.
And in the majority of the cases, it is rejected.
Yes, sir.
If there is any increase, it's not because of the planting and the watering, it's because of God.
That's right.
So this is a conclusion, right? Mm-hmm. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth.
Yeah.
That's just another way of stating it again. But God that giveth the increase.
Amen.
Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. And I'll stop there other than to say, Paul, the next thing he begins to go into is talking about the one foundation that's laid, and every other preacher, who preaches the gospel builds on that foundation, and every preacher will be judged according to how he builds on that foundation.
Amen. That's right.
And that's what this passage is talking about.
Yes, sir.
This is not talking about the general judgment of all believers at the judgment seat of Christ.
Yes, sir.
Now, I realized last week I hopped around all over the place. And I meant to do that, but I also realized that that could have been quite confusing because I never got into a lot of detail about anything. But I want to reiterate this teaching, and I believe it to be a false teaching. Okay? I want to reiterate that this teaching, this false teaching, is espoused from this text, and it's all around us. Now, some of the things I say this morning, some of the things I said last Sunday, some of the things I say this Sunday, and probably the next few Sundays, it will have more meaning to some people than others because some of us were under this error. Some of us were directly under this kind of teaching. And my mind was so brainwashed that when I read this for years, Joe, I did not see what the Apostle Paul was saying here. When I read this, all I seen was what I had been taught when I was younger.
Yep.
And I did not even see. The truth of this just passed me right on by.
Oh, yeah.
Now, here is the error. Some divide the human race into three types of people.
Yeah.
Okay? One is the natural man. The second one is the carnal man. And the third one is the spiritual man. The natural man, this is their teaching, the natural man, now some of this is true, but listen to everything I have to say. The natural man is unsaved. Now I agree with that.
Yeah.
I agree with that. The carnal man enjoys salvation. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Because the carnal people here that Paul is speaking to are who? Brethren,
yes, sir.
Right?
Yeah.
Babes in Christ.
There you go.
Yeah.
Now, I agree. The natural man is unsaved. The carnal man enjoys salvation. But here's where the error begins. But the carnal man lives like the world. But the carnal man, while living like the world, will finally be saved, yet so as by fire. While his works or her works may be burned up, that is, their worldly carnal actions may be burned up, nevertheless they will be saved, yet so as by fire. Now that's what I was taught.
Oh, yeah.
But that's not what Paul teaches here.
No, he's not.
Paul is actually teaching here that the works of some preachers that you carnally boast in, their works will be burned up.
Yeah.
But they're going to be saved,
yeah,
yet so as by fire. Mm-hmm. He's not talking about these carnal Christians being judged for their carnality.
No.
And either receiving rewards or loss. He's talking about the very men you're boasting in. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Cephas. I'm of this one. I'm of that one. Those men will also stand in judgment before God. And they will be judged according to what and how they have built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Now they also have the third one, that is the spiritual man. He's also saved, but he knows and obeys Jesus Christ as Lord, not simply as Savior,
yeah,
like the carnal man does. Now there's four basic problems with this. The fifth one is a gimme. But of course, this is the very argument here. The fifth one is, and I'll give you that one just right off the top, that's not what Paul is talking about,
yeah,
in this text.
Exactly.
This idea that some Christians are carnal Christians and they live like the world, but they're still saved, but when they're judged, all of their carnality will be burned up, but they're going to be saved, yet so as by fire.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the text. That's not what Paul, the Apostle,
exactly,
Paul is talking about. Let me just say the major problem with that is the only thing that's going to cause us to stand before God saved when it comes to our carnality is the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yeah.
we will be saved, not yet so as by fire, but yet as by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, secondly, and this is actually the first one, the carnality of the text is overextended to include actions Paul doesn't even consider here. Can a believer be guilty of worldly actions? Remember what I said? That's what they say. The natural man's unsaved. The carnal man enjoys salvation but lives like the world. Why don't they just be honest and say the natural man is unsaved? The carnal man's saved, but it lives like the unsaved man.
Yeah.
Now, is Paul telling these Corinthians, you live like the unsaved live? Is that what he said to them? No. As a matter of fact, he says you don't live like you used to.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right? And we'll look at it here in a moment, but 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, Paul is quite clear. You don't live like you used to.
Exactly.
You are not what you used to be.
Exactly.
So again, I say the carnality of the text is overextended by this false teaching to include actions Paul doesn't even consider here. As I said, a believer, can a believer be guilty of worldly actions over and above this boasting here that Paul criticized them for? Yes, we can be guilty of those actions, but that's not where we live.
Yeah, that's it.
And I'll give you a text in point. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, if you live in the Spirit, what else are you to do than walk in the Spirit?
Yes, sir.
And the way many people, especially those that's been under this false teaching and had all of this false doctrine ingrained within their hearts and minds, actually look at that passage and say, if you be in the Spirit, then walk in the Spirit. That's not what he says. He says, if you live in the Spirit,
yes, sir,
then walk in the Spirit. God's people do not live like the world.
That's it.
Although they can still be guilty of every sin the world is guilty of.
Yes, sir. That's it.
But yet that is the case in point. They may be guilty of the sin, but that's not where their life is at.
Exactly.
And this is why the natural man doesn't understand the spiritual man. The natural man sees the spiritual man, and I'm talking about the true text now, that is, the unregenerate person sees the regenerated person commit one of the same sins that they are guilty of, and therefore conclude the regenerated or professed regenerated person therefore must be unregenerate like I am.
Yeah.
And that's just not so. Somebody saying, you're saying that somebody like that may go to heaven and the other person doesn't? That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yep. Yes, sir.
Yet the Apostle Paul here is not talking about all kinds of carnal sins in general.
No, sir.
He's talking about people who were called of God, people who held to the election of grace. He had no trouble with telling them that, did he? Yeah. But you see your calling, brethren, how many, not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble after the... Not many noble are called, but God hath chosen. And he doesn't argue the election like he does in Rome, does he?
No.
He knows these people have already received this truth.
Yes, sir.
The problem here, Paul is not dealing with drunkenness and theft and lies. He's dealing with people boasting on preachers.
Yeah, that's it.
There you go. And he hammers on this. He mentions it in chapter 1.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Look at it. He says, for it, verse 11, for it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe. Now, he said, here's who told on you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You've been told on. The beans have been spilt. It's been told unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and then somebody took the real high road, didn't they?
Yeah.
And I of Christ.
There you go.
And then what does Paul, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? What was their problem? Paul says this is widespread.
Yeah.
That was the problem. It wasn't just two or three people, David.
Exactly.
But this division, this divisiveness, and this boasting in men had spread across the whole assembly. And Paul rebukes it right here. Right?
Yes, sir.
All right, we move on down. Chapter 2, what does he say? While one saith, I'm of Paul, another says, I'm of Apollos. He mentions it again. And then as he goes through these things, how does he sum this up? Verse 22, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ and Christ is God's.
Amen.
Verse 22 and 23. Yes, it is true that believers may be guilty of the very same sins that unbelievers are guilty of.
Sir.
But unbelievers are that. Yes. Believers are not that.
Yes, sir.
Based upon the declaration of God.
Yes, sir.
Not because the believer is better than the unbeliever, but because God has said, I declare that person to be better than the other person.
Yeah.
That's right. God has declared them to be better than the other person because they stand in His Son.
Amen.
The other person stands outside His Son.
Exactly.
And then Paul makes it quite clear. You can turn, you may already have, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And just to kind of summarize the first part of the chapter, he says, no, or nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that's your brethren.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?
Amen.
And then he's quite clear. Don't be deceived. Right?
Yeah.
Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And somebody says, how does anyone in this world ever have a place described as opposite from that? Because this is what we are by nature.
Amen.
How does anyone ever have a place like that described, or a position described for them like that? Only in Christ.
Amen, sir.
And then as he said, and such were some of you. Yeah. Now Paul's not talking about what we're going to be when we get there. He's talking about what we are now.
Yeah.
And if you're not that now, you're not going to inherit the blessings of that later. Now, are we not that now because we've never done those things? Huh? No, he says, and such were some of you.
Exactly.
You did these things.
Exactly.
And as he told the Colossians, you did them when you lived in them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
See? But now you live in the Spirit. Therefore, because we live in the Spirit, we're to walk in the Spirit.
Yes.
But Paul takes this even further. He says it's not just the drunkenness and the adultery, and the effeminacy, or abusing oneself with mankind, or thieves, or covetous, even boasting in men is carnality.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's right.
It's carnality.
Exactly.
Yes, again I say, can a believer be guilty of these worldly actions? We are guilty of these worldly actions. And the world says, well, they cannot be saved. They're just like I am. And the truth of Scripture is, no. God says we're not. No matter what they see of us, God sees differently.
Amen.
Because God views us through the lens of the person and work of His Son.
Amen.
And somebody says, that just don't sound fair. I know it don't, because it's called grace.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
It's called grace. God giving unto people something they don't deserve.
Exactly.
As he said, and such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. And it actually should read in, not by. And in the Spirit of our God. You see, my question is this, to those who espouse this doctrine. See, you have carnal Christians and spiritual Christians.
Oh, yeah.
And you can pass through the carnal stage, then you become a spiritual Christian. Let me tell you, if you're a Christian, you're spiritual.
Amen.
Because you can't become a Christian without first being spiritual.
Exactly.
Because if you're not spiritual, you receive nothing of the things of God.
Exactly.
It's impossible for you to receive anything.
Amen.
You won't even profess from the heart Christ as Savior.
Exactly.
Let alone Lord.
Exactly.
My question is this, to those who espouse this doctrine. Can their spiritual man, by denying the lordship of Christ, then become a carnal man?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you have to begin carnal and then remain carnal? You see, the whole fact of this thing of here, they've got the religion that espouses this error has their assemblies flooded with people who profess Christ,
but
they do not know the Christ of God.
Exactly.
They've made some decision for Jesus, then they've been told, you can live as you please, you're okay. No matter what you do in the judgment, it'll just be burned up if it's bad. You just won't get a reward for it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what Paul's teaching.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with what Paul's teaching. Paul is teaching here that, listen, you don't have to lie and cheat and steal to be carnal. All you have to do is just boast in men and you're still carnal.
Exactly.
Those are still carnal deeds.
Yep.
Those are still carnal actions. I'm reminded of this. I won't mention the preacher's name because I'm not here to try to embarrass him. That some people heard this, and I was related this. I believe all of us was. You probably most of us have heard this, but a certain conference, Bible conference, was going on, and of course at this conference several different men preach, and some people were overheard. I believe it was in the restroom. Were overheard to say about the pastor of that church, well, I wish he would just do all the preaching. I'm paraphrasing now because I don't want to mention names. I wish he would do all the preaching because he's a whole lot better than any of these other men. You know what that is, don't you? That's the same thing that these Corinthians were doing.
That's what it is.
That's what it is. I'm of so-and-so. So-and-so preaches a whole lot better than this one or that one. And here's the question. Says who?
Yeah.
Me?
Yeah. Exactly.
Uh-huh. Well, I get a whole lot more out of that guy than the other guy. If so, that's only even as the Lord gave to every man.
Right there.
Yes, sir.
Because it's not the planting, it's not the ability to plant, and it's not the ability to water. It's God that gives the increase. What I understand from Scripture, spiritually, what I know from Scripture, and let me use a better word, what I believe from Scripture, had nothing to do with the ability of the speaker.
Yeah.
Now, there may be men that preach, are far more eloquent, or can preach better than other men, but the fact is this, is that person declaring the truth? It doesn't matter how eloquent or how wise or how able they are. God uses His truth.
Amen.
I think we all see, and we're in danger of this because all of us probably can relate to certain men better than we can to others. We hear certain men preach and we say, I'm getting more out of that guy than I do this guy. And we relate it to, I like him.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got to remember, he that plants and he that waters is nothing.
Exactly.
It's coincidental that we feel that way. The only reason I understand that guy more than I understand this guy is because God gave me understanding when that guy preached.
Yeah, that's it.
If he'd have gave me understanding when this guy preached, I'd have understood this guy more than I did that guy.
Exactly.
This guy then would have been a better preacher to me than that guy.
Yeah. That's it.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You see, anytime we boast in a person because we understood the truth of God because that person preached, you know what we're doing, don't you? We're bragging on men. That's what we're doing. Let me tell you something. God Almighty has determined to use who He will, as He will, in the declaration of the truth of God. And you and I will only understand it, comprehend it, believe it, and love it as God gave to every man.
Exactly.
It has no matter what we feel and what we think we're experiencing, it had nothing to do with the ability of that man. Now, does this mean that we throw men to the side? Is that what that means? No. But taken in its proper perspective, Mason, when we consider the whole thing, he that plants and he that waters is nothing when compared to bringing forth increase.
Yeah.
God brings forth the increase.
Exactly.
And the fact is, you and I are carnal when we start boasting in men.
Yeah.
Huh?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how many times I said, boy, and I think to myself, why well, I like listening to this preacher.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He just really does it for me. I mean, just the way he speaks does it for me. Only because God gave me to that man as he preached those words.
That's it.
It's even as the Lord gave to every man. I find myself, and you realize this word, I find myself attracted to certain kinds of preaching.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And then I feel turned off by other preaching. But yet, when I back up and look at the whole picture, I think that man spoke just as much truth as this man did.
That's right. Yeah.
You know?
That's all it was.
Well, so what? The problem had nothing to do. The problem had to do with me.
Yeah,
I'm giving credit to the wrong blessed thing.
Exactly.
I'm walking carnally. Huh?
Yeah.
Well, at least I ain't a drunk, which is just as bad as carnality. Huh? Right?
Yeah.
It's still carnal, is it not?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. When Paul talks about carnal brethren, he's not saying, well, you just got a ways to go. Then you'll be spiritual one day. Huh? Let me go to the third one. I'll go back to the second one because of what I just said. No spiritual man, even in their circle, these people that use this false idea, even in their circles, no spiritual person is so spiritual so as not to entail and engage in some kind of carnality at some time or another. We are all guilty of it.
Amen.
Pray God we don't continue to walk that way.
Exactly.
Pray God that He teaches us that lesson to where if I boast, I best boast in God.
Amen.
Now there's nothing wrong with honoring those God has been pleased to bring you the gospel through. I thank God for Joe Galusik, and I thank God for Earl Cochran, but one plants, one waters. Let me tell you who gave the increase. God Almighty did.
Yes, sir.
And it's only because God purposed for me to hear and believe and love the truth under the ministry of those men. Mm-hmm. It could have very well, Jack, been anybody else had God sovereignly ordained it so. You know? So again, I say, listen, we're all guilty of carnality somewhere or another. Even divisiveness is called carnality.
Yeah.
You know? Think of it. You know, I mean, I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. As though somehow Paul and Apollos are at odds.
Yeah.
What we actually do when we say that is, well, Paul's just trying to get his following. Apollos is trying to get his following. When those men may have no intent as to that.
Exactly.
That's why I didn't mention the preacher's name, but those women were boasting. I didn't say it was women. Now, we'll still get away too many detail. That those people, those two women, we're bragging about. And I don't believe it was the preacher's fault.
No.
I believe it was the carnality of those two individuals.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't the preacher's fault. I know that preacher. He's not trying to get a following. But let me give you, if we go back to the second one now. The trying, I've done mention it, but the trying of the works here. And it talks about trying these works, right? Every man's work shall be tried. And you know what that word means, don't you? Shall be judged.
Yeah.
That's what it means. Some say, well, it doesn't mention judgment here. Don't be stupid.
Yeah.
Seriously, don't be stupid. It says, every man's work shall be tried. That's just another word for judged. The trying of the works by fire in this text is of those works specifically engaged in proclaiming the truth of Christ as one is building upon the one foundation Paul has already laid.
Exactly.
Paul's talking about preachers here.
Yeah. That's it.
And Paul is telling these Corinthians, we men, you, those all these men you're bragging on, we will stand before God. And we will give an account of what and how we built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's who he's talking about. He's not talking about God burning up the Corinthians' carnality. The Corinthians' only hope for their carnality is the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And let me tell you, the only thing that's going to save these preachers was not being saved yet so as by fire. Huh? It doesn't say carnality's burned up here.
Yeah.
Does it? You see, sin is taken care of only by blood.
Amen.
And these people teaching this error are trying to say somehow the blood of Jesus Christ wasn't enough. It's enough to get you saved now, but not enough to get you in. And what'll get you in is God will burn up all your sins when you get to the judgment seat of Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, that's a lie.
Yeah.
That's what they're teaching, but that's a lie. And that's not what Paul's teaching here.
Exactly.
He's simply saying these men you're bragging on, they're men like everybody else.
Yes, sir.
And they're going to have to give an account of every work, every effort they've done in preaching now,
yeah.
In their preaching. Isn't that what he says? Verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
Yes,
now, if any man build upon this foundation. So what's he talking about? Men who are preaching the gospel. Men who are coming along behind Paul and then building upon the foundation he's already laid. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And then notice what he says, know ye not that you're the temple of God? Here's why it's serious.
Yes, sir.
This building that's being built is God's building.
Yes, sir.
It's God's temple. And let me tell you, when I read this, it frightens me. Because I know I have to give an account for everything I have said when I stand in this place. And for everything, David, I have thought when I've read and prepared to stand in this place. And that scares me. It actually makes me wish I could just go sit down and be done. But I can't. I mean, people get all caught up in this world over this and over that. And folks, we are the family of God. And let me notice what it says. Then he noticed what it says. Not every man, verse 17, if any man defile the temple of God.
Yeah.
What's the context? Now here he's not talking about our bodies. He's talking about the temple of God here being us. And then he doesn't say every man, speaking then about those preaching, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy.
That's what it says.
For the temple of God is holy, which temple are ye? Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise.
Yeah.
You see, this is, so Paul is saying there is even a sense in which this is true of you. and be careful when it comes to the temple of God.
Yes, sir.
Be careful what we do toward one another. And that ought to scare you too.
Exactly.
Yeah. Huh? It ought to scare you too. Now somebody says, well, does that mean I'm going to be lost? Why don't you quit worrying? Why don't you believe Christ and trust Christ and see that my life and how I live it still matters?
Yeah.
Because it reflects on Him.
Yeah.
And that's why. That ought to be good enough for us to seek to not only live in the Spirit, but to do what? To walk in the Spirit as well. You see, let me just give you the fourth one. I've already mentioned it. Because of this false teaching, assemblies are flooded. They are flooded with people who profess Christ. Well, He's my Savior. Might not be my Lord, but He's my Savior. Let me tell you, if He, and it's, I don't even like saying it this way, but it's still true, I believe. If He's not your Lord, He's not your Savior.
Amen.
But He's your Lord whether you like it or not.
Exactly.
But in a true sense, if He's not your Lord, He's not your Savior.
Exactly.
You cannot believe in Him as your personal Savior and not confess Him as Lord.
Exactly. That's it.
As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul says the faith which we preach includes what? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth that Jesus is your Savior. Is that what it says? No, the faith that we preach is this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, people who confess Him as Lord but don't live like He's the Lord are what? They're hypocrites. They're people who profess to have what they don't have.
Exactly.
Somebody says, I know you don't live like He's Lord. You don't know nothing.
That's it.
You don't know nothing because you don't know in here. All you see is out here. You don't see in here. You don't know the shame and the guilt and the remorse when I even find out. Not, it don't have to be about theft. It don't have to be about a foul tongue. When I find myself bragging on men, I feel just as dirty and corrupt and guilty. Because that's sin. That's sin. That's carnal.
Yes, sir.
It's carnal. So somebody said, well, you believe you can be carnal and still go to heaven. You better hope you can.
Exactly.
You better hope you can. Because to some extent, some of us, maybe more than others, we're all carnal.
Exactly.
I'm just as carnal as the natural man is. As a matter of fact, at one time, I was a natural man myself.
Exactly.
And it took the work of God to turn me into a spiritual man. And a spiritual man is not a Christian who lives on the high plane. A spiritual man, a spiritual woman, a spiritual person is someone that God has said,
exactly,
and breathed spiritual life into.
Amen.
Whereby they then perceive the things of the Spirit of God.
Yes, sir.
But the problem is we are so carnal that that can happen to us and we can still walk in that carnality. Right? Now, my time's about up. But I want to try to give you this. Think about it. Now, I am in no way diminishing the seriousness of this divisiveness. And let me put it to you this way. Let me just read this. These Corinthians were engaging in, and you and I have the propensity to it as well.
Yeah.
Let's not look down on them and say, well, those old carnal Corinthians.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we could be guilty of it just as well.
Oh, yeah.
But is this what Paul is warning against? The first two chapters, Paul is warning against this propensity to form party lines attached to particular men. That's what that's the whole thing he's talking about. He just keeps hammering on it and hammering on it. Why? Because Chloe run the house of Chloe run her mouth. Right? The house of Chloe told on him.
That's it.
Paul, this is what's going on. Paul said, well, it's time for that to stop.
That's it.
And what does Paul call it? Carnality.
Yes, sir.
Fleshliness. Does he say you're natural men? No, but it's still carnal. let me reiterate to you, I am not trying to say, well, at least it ain't too bad of a sin.
Exactly.
It's a sin like every other sin is.
That's it.
Jack, were it not for the grace of God, we'd be damned for it.
Yeah.
Because God said, my glory, I will not share with another.
Amen.
David, that's as bad. I figure that's as bad as drunkenness.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you figure? I would actually be prone to think even more so.
Yeah.
But I don't want to go that far to say that. All sin is damning.
Yes, sir.
Unless you're in Christ.
Exactly.
Amen.
And that's all I can say.
Yeah.
Unless you're in Christ. Somebody says, well, you're giving me license. I didn't give you nothing. I just told you the truth. Men who hate the truth will make a profession and then live according to the flesh.
Oh, yeah.
Men who love the truth make a profession. They live in the Spirit, but then they also seek to walk in the Spirit as well. Now, think about this. Their problem was this. It was immaturity. Because Paul says, here's the problem, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. But what's wrong with being a babe in Christ? Nothing if you're just newly born again.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong, Mason, with being immature if you're an infant. But when you're an adult and you're still on the breast, when you're still feeding on nothing but the milk and you can't handle the meat, the carnality then sets in.
Yeah.
That's the problem. And let me tell you something. Paul does not have nice words to say about those who are immature when they should not be. Now you can turn to Hebrews and we'll probably pick up there, but I want to give you this. And I remember one time, let me preface this with something before I even read it. It's Hebrews chapter 5 if you want to be turning there. I remember Henry Mahan preaching a message, and I think it was on the importance of public worship. I think I had some copies made here, but he said this, no man is his own pastor.
Yeah.
Because no man plants his own seed, waters his own seed.
Amen.
And then God said, I didn't preach the gospel to myself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's it.
God sends someone else to bring the gospel to us. We don't bring the gospel to ourselves. And let me tell you, we don't pastor ourselves either. No man or no woman is their own pastor. Now let me say, I know there are some of God's people that don't have a place to gather. And David, God is sufficient.
Yes, sir.
But I know there are those. And I'll say, they're God's people. Because I've got no reason to try to judge and say they're not. But there are people who are God's people who could be in a local assembly and are not. And you know what? They're going to stay immature.
Yeah.
Amen. That's right. Yeah.
They're not going to grow into maturity on their own out there somewhere.
That's right.
Amen.
That's it.
Because here is where the family comes together and eats.
Yes, sir.
And you only grow by what? Eating. And you don't eat alone when you're at the table of God. Now some, Mason, by providence are forced to. And as I said, God's sufficient. But we can't play games with God.
Yeah.
And let me just read this. Hebrews 5, verse 12. Well, verse 11. Of whom? He's talking about Christ. Of whom we have many things to say. There is so much about Jesus Christ. Right? Mm-hmm. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered. Why? Because they're just so deep and profound. Mm-hmm. Well, they are deep and profound.
Yeah.
But is that the problem?
Not here.
Mm-hmm. Seeing ye are dull of hearing.
Amen.
That's the problem. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. Now, I didn't have to stop there. We can say, all right, milk's good, but once you should be more mature, you need to progress on to meat. But he says even more. Look at what he says. For everyone. So how many people does that include? all of them, right? For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Let me tell you, as an immature babe in Christ, you can't help it. That's the way you begin. But when you become 5, 6, 7 years old in Christ, things ought to be changing a little bit, shouldn't they?
Yes, sir. Huh?
You ought to be growing a little bit. You ought to be maturing a little bit. You ought to quit bragging on men.
That's right.
Somebody said we ought to quit lying. Well, of course, but quit bragging on men too. And we get, and as we look at that, there are other things too that are carnality that may not be, David, the base, immoral things of this world. But yet they're sin in God's sight. Anything that does not give God glory in fact is sin. I mean, in fact, there are people who, well, I give God all the glory, but they believe in free will. At best, that's carnality. At best, it's carnality. Somebody said, well, you can't believe in free will and be a child of God. Don't be stupid. Most of us here believed in free will. We were the children of God. Now, God may have brought us out of it, but we were in the middle of it at one time.
Yes, sir.
Weren't we?
Oh, yeah.
Somebody said, you can't be a child of God and believe in free will. That's like saying you can't believe in God. You can't lie and be a child of God. Well, Scripture says, let every one of us be a liar.
That's right. Exactly. Well,
we take that verse to heart, don't we? You don't get what I'm, you get what I'm saying. You didn't get that, did you? It says, let every man be a liar. We take God up on that one, don't we? We'll lie all we can. That's not what he was talking about. I was trying to be funny. Look at it. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. The problem is there's some people, they ought not be babies anymore.
Exactly.
But strong meat belongeth to them that are what? Of full age. Even those who by, now here's the thing, by reason of use.
Yeah.
So how do you mature? By using what God give you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not trying to be mean, but how many of us pick this up and read it every once in a while? You know? By reason of what? Use. Have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Were the Corinthians trying to discredit God? No. They weren't trying to discredit God, but because of their carnality,
amen,
their immaturity, they were boasting in men, yep, and thereby were, in effect, discrediting God.
Exactly.
They were not laying the glory where the glory ought to be laid. Remember, so that no flesh should glory in his purpose. We don't even glory in other flesh.
Exactly.
We glory in God alone.
Amen.
Now, the whole point is this. Sin goes far beyond those base immoral things in this world.
Yes.
Sin goes far beyond a disobedience to one of the Ten Commandments.
Yes, sir.
The Apostle Paul goes so far to put it this way. That which was outside of faith, that which is not of faith, is what?
Yeah.
Sin.
Yes, exactly.
Ain't it? If I write a check and put it in that box out there and I don't do it in faith, you know what it is?
Sin.
It's a sin. Just as much as going to work and lying to my boss about what time I got there.
Exactly.
Just as much. And somebody says, boy, this just sounds tough. It is.
Yes, sir.
Because we are so carnal.
Exactly.
We're so prone to that which does dishonor God.
Yeah.
Our only hope is what? Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. When it comes to your sins, don't be waiting till the last day and hoping the fire will burn your sins up. I'm serious. Don't be waiting till the judgment and hopefully, well, at least my bad works will be burned up, but I'll be saved, yes, so as by fire. That's the wrong attitude to be approaching that passage of Scripture with. Wrong attitude. Father, I pray that that these things may be applied to our hearts and minds. Lord, we fail you. We sin. We have and do come short of your glory. But Lord, it's not that we do this flippantly And it's certainly not that we boast in these things, or we're ashamed of these things. These things haunt our hearts and minds apart from that peace and joy we have through you in Jesus Christ. I thank you in his name. Amen.